defines what we're talking about tonight. Thank you, Brother Gray. And we will just use the pulpit microphone tonight, and that'll work out just fine for me tonight. And I've enjoyed these Wednesday nights dealing with marriage and family and children and home and all that. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. I think I have a couple more on Wednesday nights, and then we're going to shift gears and do something different. Something David and I are going to attend Saturday is Lucy May has a play she's going to be in. What's the name of the play?
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web, yeah. And what is she? Who is she?
Narrator.
Oh, she's a narrator. Okay. And anyway, I know she'd love it if you could attend that. It's not going to be as good as our Christmas cantata, but it may be almost as good. What is she in the Christmas cantata? She's Daisy. She's Daisy, that's right. She didn't want to be Bobby Joe. And but we got online yesterday, got our tickets. We're going to be there at 2 o'clock Saturday. This Saturday, we're free of soul winning, right? So Saturday be open. If you want to come, you can come at 2 o'clock. You'll see me there, then take me to a late lunch and everything. Brother Ray sounds like a good thing you could do. And I thought it'd be good, and she'd love to see you there. Psalm 128. Psalms have so many wonderful blessings in it, and I want to read these six verses and then go back to them, and then I want to speak just for a few minutes tonight. It's Psalm 128. Let me get a drink of water before that happens. You know, you're always fine here, but once you get in this range, that's when it starts attacking. The word blessed, I don't think it would be any damage to the Word of God if we substitute the word happy. It's what it means. Happy or blessed is everyone. Now, that's really a tremendous blessing. Everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Now, I remember years ago studying this psalm. And as I put this together for tonight, my focus, of course, will be on verse 3. But then I began, as I read it this morning again, I began thinking about verse 1 and 2. It's just so full. And I went back to my library, and I pulled down three or four Bibles where I scribbled notes into till I found the right Bible. And I found it, and then I didn't have as much written there as what I thought I had written there. Have you ever done that before? And I know more than what I had written back years ago. I think that's probably a good thing. And but let's look, if you would. First of all, everybody desires to be blessed. Everybody wants to be happy. How happy do we want to be? We want to be happy, don't we? And it's a blessing to me that it says, blessed is everyone. No one will be eliminated in this. That fears the Lord, that reverence God. You know, we have a lack of the fear of God in our country. There's a lack of the fear of God in our churches. I think there's a great lack of the fear of God in our pulpits. When we talk about the fear of God, I don't view a God that's angry with lightning bolts and that we are in the corner and we're bending over, cowering down, and we're frightened of God. I think we see that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily in the Valley. And he's the bright morning star. And we reverence God and we pay homage to God for who he is. Often, not always, but often when I begin to pray to the Lord, Lord, I pause before I pray to acknowledge who I'm speaking to. And so we are to fear the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, he defines it, I feel like, is that walketh in his ways. We show our reverence to God. We show our respect to God by walking with God. There's a lot of people who talk about the fear of God, but their walk doesn't display that. When you walk with God, what it means is that you have a consciousness, an awareness that God is there. There's never a time God is not there. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say your character is displayed greatest when no one's around to see you. You are what you are when there's no one, when there's not an audience there to watch you. So happy or blessed is everyone that reverence God. How do we reverence God? We walk in his ways. And what's the fruit of us reverencing him and walking in his ways? Well, he says in verse 2 that thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. He says, happy shalt thou be. He says, it shall be well with thee. So I think the reverse side of this coin is if we don't reverence God, if we don't fear God, if we don't walk in his ways, then we're not going to be happy and things aren't going to go well with us. There's a lot of people today who are professing Christians, many that I know, many that I have known for years, and they've made a shift, they've made a change, they've compromised some things. They want to label some things that I would say is the fear of God and the acknowledgement of God. They want to reference that as legalism and boundary lines and our culture and man-made rules. And because of that, now they have a new liberty. They have a new liberty to drink liquor. They want to talk about wine and how Jesus drank wine. Anyone who thinks Jesus turned water into an intoxicating beverage is an idiot. And matter of fact, the scriptures give us so much about who has sorrows and who has woes, who hath redness of eyes, but they that tarry long in the avenger, it bites like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. He that is deceived thereby is not wise. We can go on and on. So many. And then they want to say, well, what that, you know, they're such theologians. I never met a generation like we have today who wants to try to use the Bible to prove it's okay for them to do their sin. And they'll say, well, what that's talking about is intoxication, but it's okay to have a wine. Well, my question to you is, how do you know how much wine you can drink? And if Jesus turned the water into wine, he sure didn't turn it into Budweiser. He didn't make it beer. What are you doing drinking beer? You know, now I'm not an expert on wines and whiskeys and brandies and stuff like that. You'll have to talk to somebody else here that might know more than me about that. But I don't know about those things. But I do know this. I know God did not turn water into a intoxicating beverage. You cannot say that. And we see here that there's an absence of fear, an absence of the fear of God. And these folks who have a new sense of freedom, a new sense of liberty. But let me tell you this, we never are given liberty to indulge our flesh and to gratify our flesh and to go into sin. Now, verse 3 is very telling. It says, thy wife. Now, remember this begins with happiness, where it's found. It begins with everyone who will practice this. It's centered around the fear of the Lord, and to fear the Lord is to walk in his ways, and we will eat the labor of our hand. We will have bountiful enough for us. We'll be happy, and we will things will be well with us. Then he continues on, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Now, the vine, you have to know this, the vine is weak in and of itself. A matter of fact, a vine is too weak, it's too tender, it's too fragile to stand on its own. When they would have the grapes, the vines, the grapevines, they built a support structure, and the vines would grow on it. Am I telling the truth here? I know that. And that would support it. I think it might be David or Solomon. I'm not sure who said it, but it says it's the foxes that spoil the vine. What it's talking about is that they could put fences around their vineyards, around their grapes, their vines, and they would keep the oxen out, But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Solomon said it, I believe. And as a fox could squeeze itself through the smallest little crevice, and it would get in. Now, the fox would not eat the grapes. It would eat the vines. It would chew the vines, and it would halt the reproduction of the valuable fruit of the grapes. And what he's saying is it's the little things that we need to give attention to. Yeah, a lot of times, we who walk with the Lord, we feel very good about ourselves because we're not in adultery and we're not in fornicating. We're not in pornography. We're pretty good about our friends. Those are big things. We're not in divorce court. Those are big things. But it's the little foxes. Do we read our Bible daily? Do we pray daily? Are we faithful to church? Do we serve the Lord? It's those little things that lead to those large things. So we see here that he says the wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Now the house represents the strength of the vine. And I think the house would be the home, even the man. We know that the woman is the weaker vessel. Doesn't mean that she's not as intelligent. Doesn't mean that she's not as smart, if not smarter than the man. But she's the more frail one. If you had to put a 200-pound ladder up on the side of this, I think I'd rather get a couple of guys to do that than get a couple of ladies to do that, obviously. And I'd be careful choosing the guys to do that, too. The vine grows on the side of the wall of this house. The vine is very valuable. It's tender. It's fragile. But it produces, the grapes are the fruit of the vine. It gives a great harvest. And every home needs the vine. And every vine needs a wall to strengthen it. And then it says, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Now, the olive plant, it was very valuable. The olive plant, it gave its fruit. It used its oil for many purposes. And so we see some comparisons here. We see the wife, she's the fruitful vine. And by the way, that fruitful vine that she yields and the value of the grapes are that of children. The husband, he's the side of the house. He's the one. He doesn't move. He's solid. The vine can cling to this. When our wives are uncertain, they cling to us. They look for the husband to be their strength. And the children, they're valuable. They're the olive plants. And notice it says round about the table. We see family. We see family here. And then it says, behold, it says that thus shall the man. And we see the responsibility here is the man. Be blessed that feareth the Lord. And the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, and it says, thou shalt see thy children's children. And the peace upon Israel. When we know the great blessings of grandchildren. Now, I want to focus for just a few minutes about the wife and the fruit of the vine. Number one, how to be a mother with a peaceful home. To be honest, it is the mother and the wife that sets the atmosphere of the home. In our home, Debbie has touched every wall in our home, every room has her touch to it, everything from our pantry to our closet. It has the touch there. We men, we don't look and notice things that much, but they add a certain dimension to our home. And there are many Christians who need to have a peaceful home. How do we have this? Well, Proverbs 15 1 through 4 speak about this. First of all, let me say, A, be consistently aware of the power of words. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There's great power in the words. We know from the book of James about words, and life and death are in words. And if you want to have a peaceful home, be consistently aware of the power of your words. A soft answer, a soft tone turns away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. Number B, measure your words carefully. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So measure your words. Choose your words carefully. Someone says, be kind and be kind with your words and use sweet words, for one day you may have to eat them. See the good in your household. I think a lot of times it's very easy for us to see the negative, especially with young people, especially with teenagers. I think that with teenagers, they're no longer that child. They're not quite to the adult yet. We don't expect out of them that we would expect out of an adult. But we do, are you listening? We do have an expectation of putting your clothes away, hanging your clothes up, keeping your room looking nice. These are things that adult and mature young people should do. But see the good in the household. It's always easy to point out the negative and see the negative and key on the negative. We are negative people by nature. When we go purchase an item, whatever, if it's a piece of furniture, if it's an automobile, whatever it is, the salesman's going to tell us 10 points. All the good things about this car are about this furniture, and we can instantly start kicking the tires and see things to try to devalue those things. It comes very easy to us, and it's easy for us to look at each other in the home and see the negative. It's very easy. But we need to hunt and search for the positive. See good. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, that doesn't mean we can't, and we don't need to address the negative. And we certainly need to do that. But when we do, we need to be consistently aware of the power of our words. We need to measure our words. And we need to see the good that's in the household. Then D, remember your family reflects your speech and your spirit. Verse 4 of Proverbs 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So your family will reflect your speech and your spirit. Notice, secondly, the home a mother loves to occupy. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, putting on, therefore, the elect of God, verse 12, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, a mother loves to occupy a home with a joyful spirit. And it says, put on, therefore. And I think the joyful spirit starts in the morning when your feet hit the bed, hit the floor. When you get out of bed, your feet hit the floor. This morning, I was joyful on my second cup of coffee, I think, you know. It gets a little bit more difficult sometimes, and there's been some times that Debbie will say, are we okay? You know, have I done something? And I'm like, you know, no, you've done nothing. Now leave me alone until I get my second cup of coffee down. Sometimes we wake up a little grumpy, but does your home have a joyful spirit? Is there joy in your home? If it's not, it's not the devil's fault and it's not the world's fault. It's your fault. We know the devil hates us and we know the world's against us, but it's ourself, our own self that we have to battle. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, put these things on. And then notice B, a home with a sweet spirit. A mother loves to occupy a home with a sweet spirit. He says, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. A home with a sweet spirit. See, she would want to occupy a home with a forgiving spirit. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. None of us are perfect. None of us are always right. And there needs to be a quick forgiveness. Listen, you should not allow your children to be unkind to each other. They should be spanked for that. If someone, if for any reason there's a fight and you don't know which one started it and which one, spank both of them. You'll be surprised how that'll stop that stuff. Just spank both of them. But don't let your children have this hateful spirit towards each other, and they should be able to forgive one. And I remember one time little girl was very, very hateful to her brother. I remember this, and this is going back a few years ago. And the mother was trying to teach the children, and she said, now you turn to your brother, and you tell him you're sorry. And she stomped her foot and folded her hands, punched her bottom lip out, and she said, you're going to get a spanking. You tell your brother right now. You tell him you're sorry for what you did. And she said, I won't do it. And she reached over and she gave her some encouragement. And she said, now you tell him you're sorry. And she's crying and her bottom lips out. And she looked at her brother and said, I'm sorry. And the brother looked at her and said, no, you ain't. You know, that was so funny. And the brother knew her heart wasn't in that. No, you ain't. And but have a forgiving spirit. Encourage forgiveness. If any man have a quarrel against thee, even as God, or even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. A mother would love to occupy a home with a loving spirit. Look, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. That's love, which is the bond of perfectness. Understand this, that there should be a loving spirit. A loving spirit is a giving spirit. A loving spirit is a sharing spirit. A loving spirit is a kind spirit. That should be in your home. These things are not natural. The natural man, they do not exhibit these things. We are selfish. We are hateful. We are negative. All these things, they have got to be taught, and they've got to be seen in mom and dad. And then I think the mother loves to occupy a home with a peaceful spirit. He says in verse 15, Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, I know there was times when my children were small that they had no clue the pressure their mom and dad were under. Often it was financial. Many times it was financial pressure. Sometimes there were great pressures in the church and difficulties there. And we tried never to show that. And we never talked about any of it. We wanted our children to love God and to love ministry and to love our church. And if we had a situation in the church, Debbie and I tried to talk about it together and talk to God about it, but we never made our kids, when they became older teenagers, it's much more difficult because they had eyes and they could see. But a joyful spirit, a sweet spirit, a forgiving spirit, a loving spirit, a peaceful spirit, does these characteristics, do they describe your home? They should, and they ought to. And then lastly, let me say this, what one woman can do to bless her home. I think Ephesians 4 is a good closing here. Verse 29 through 32 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now notice these three things the mother can bless. The mother can bless with her mouth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We're living in a day, and I would be shocked if this would describe anybody here, but we're living in a day where if you're just in a business place taking care of business, the language that people use today, and I mean females, it's causes me to blush and makes me feel awkward and shameful, just the way they talk. It's corrupt communication. Now, corrupt communication can not only be words that are profane, but it can also be slander or gossip or tale-bearing, things that cause you to strip and tear down others in the process. The Apostle Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good," he says, "to use of edifying, to building up. Use your words, use your mouth." And a mother can build her children, build her home by edifying with her mouth, that it may be ministered grace unto the hearers. Let me say that the mother, she can bless with her spirit. Verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption." Let all bitterness, let that out. Bitterness is it's the root of bitterness that we have to pull up. It's a root sin, and wrath and anger and clamor. You know, you see this today where we're living in the last days, where men are incontinent, and that's true with women. They have no decency than just to throw a fit in the middle of Walmart. I mean, some things that you know, the camera catches is unreal. You know, there's no self-respect. I want to use the word pride, but I don't want to use it in the wrong way. But there's no self-respect to that would demand better behavior out of you than that, even though it's a difficult situation. We all deal with difficult situations. And you can tell when the person who you're dealing with is not going to be favorable about your problem. That's why I ask often very kindly for the manager who can make a difference. But let these things out of your life. She blesses with her mouth. She blesses with her spirit. And then she blesses with her actions. Verse 32 says, "Be ye kind one to another." Kindness. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. And then we have the great example. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, let's remember Psalm 128. We're talking about a happy life, a blessed life, that includes everyone, verse 1, that will fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is walking in his ways. If we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, then we will eat the labor of our hands. We will be happy, happy shall thou be, and things will go well with us. The wife, she's a tender, fragile vine that needs support to stand. She needs a wall to attach to. The children are valuable olive plants. The wife yields bountiful fruit. The children, they yield olive plants. We get our fruit and our oil from them. And it says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Now, let me finish with this. All of this hinges on the man, every bit of it. And you can maybe say, "Boy, I wish I had a wife that blesses with her mouth, with her spirit, and with her action." I'm going to tell you something. All that hinges on you, on the man. We are the leadership in this. I think if our children are going to be valuable olive plants, if they're going to yield, it says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." The fear of the Lord in our home, the standard bearer is dad, is the husband. And the wife can, and I know many women that I have awesome, tremendous respect for, who's going against the current of a lost husband or a husband who may be professing to be saved, but there's no evidence of it. And he's just against, he wouldn't flagrantly say he's against the Bible, but he's not involved in the church or in the children's lives. I have great respect for the wife who has to swim against that current. But I want you to know, we are the ones, we men are the ones that determine whether our homes are going to fit this example with a joyful spirit, a sweet spirit, forgiving spirit, loving spirit, peaceful spirit. And if your home doesn't exhibit this, or if it does, and then the devil, as he does sometimes, infiltrates and things start to spiral out, stop everything right there and say, let's pray. We need to pray, and let's not let the devil get control of this. Can you do that? I have done that. I have pulled on the side of the road, so I need to pray, and have prayed. I'm not going another 14 feet till I pray and get right, and get and I mean, just push that reset button. And the reset button to do it every time is prayer. Every time. You cannot pray and be upset with somebody. It's not going to happen. Lord, I just want to ask you to help us, bless our marriage, and be with us. Forgive us. Okay, honey, I prayed, and I'm sorry. No, you ain't. She's not going to say that. That's what a child might say. But she's not going to say that. Prayer brings everything back down to the level. Amen? And when you are in the midst of frustration and controversy and upset, boy, I don't know what you guys do with the lights, but you're killing me up here right now with this. That puts everything back. That's where the victory's at, to be able to be spiritual enough to stop in the midst of it and to seek the Lord, pray together, and bring that harmony back in your home. Don't have a home torn all to pieces like this. I think this is a beautiful picture of that. Stand with me tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this short psalm and how you draw out clearly who we are. The wife is the fruitful vine. The children are the olive plants. We are the side of the house. We're the strong wall. The man is. And as we all gather around about the table, Lord, help us to have a Christian home. Help us to be aware of the power of words. Help us to measure our words carefully. Help us to see the good in our home and not just the negative and not things that we just have to address. May our family reflect our speech and our spirit. And Lord, may we strive and determine by the power that's in the Holy Spirit, by the power in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a joyful, sweet, forgiving, loving, peaceful spirit in our home. May we bless with our mouth, with our spirit, and with our actions. And when the devil gets in, may we be wise enough and spiritual enough to say, we're going to break right here, put the brakes on right here. We're going to pray, and we're going to tender our hearts and ask God to come back in and help us here. Help our homes to be godly. May revival begin in our homes. In thy name I pray. As God speaks to your heart tonight, perhaps you should come and pray for your family. Ask God to give you strength to do this. You come now.